at ilovethetruth.com.
Partly cloudy today with no chance of rain. Our high will be 81 degrees. This evening, partly cloudy. There's a 10% chance of rain tonight and a low of 63. Things cool off this weekend. Saturday's high is 66. Sunday's high is 63.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes here with my good buddy Doug McCary this Thursday afternoon, the week of the TPC. Are you going to get out at all this week, Doug?
You know, I wanted to. I just don't know if I'm going to be able to get out there with Lori Penn out of town. My daughter's out there. Kate's out there right now.
Oh, good.
She was eating some Taco Lou.
Oh, yeah, on tacos at 12.
Yep, she was out there. And so she's enjoying the tournament. I just don't know if I'll get out there. But, you know, I've been out there. I like going out there to walk. I like watching the guys off the main, like the 17th tee, mm-hmm. like other parts of the course.
I don't like to get in the crowds personally. I got to tell you, though, Doug, so the course this year, because it's in March as opposed to May,
mm-hmm.
all the grass, they've overseeded the rye. I think it's rye grass. And so the grass is so much thicker and it's so much more lush. Not that the course was ever not pretty. It's beautiful, but it is just incredible right
now.
Hope you can get out there, man.
Yeah. Well, so Brad, for people who aren't really golfers or who they're not familiar with how it works, when you have a tournament like this, a major tournament. And by the way, the guy who won last year is a pretty strong believer.
Webb Simpson, great, solid guy.
Yeah. He's speaking, I think, at the FCA breakfast. They do like a FCA breakfast, and I think he's the speaker this year.
I think it was yesterday, actually.
Oh, really?
I believe, but I'm not positive.
So anyway, for people who don't know how it works, they're out there and they're practicing. They're pretty laid back. The golfers are Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday begins that's when they start keeping real score, right?
Correct.
Go out there.
Yep.
So what are they doing on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday? Are they hitting? Are they playing the course?
Some of them will actually pair up with friends of theirs and they'll just play together. You know, they'll put everything out. They'll have a regular match. It'd be like you and I going out playing. Hey, you and I don't gamble, but they might play for, you know, a dollar hole, $20 hole, whatever it
just
is.
Just to go out and have fun.
Just for the competitive nature of it. There's other guys that may only play 9 holes.
Really?
But they may hit 2 or 3 shots from each
place just to get a feel.
We were out there on Tuesday and watched Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, watched a few of those guys. And, you know, I like personally going out there Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday because you don't have near the crowds that you have on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can go follow these guys. You can watch them hit multiple shots around the green.
And they even talk to people, right?
They will. Yeah, you can get autographs, all that kind of stuff. They're much more laid back, obviously.
Yeah, because they start feeling the pressure come Thursday.
But Thursday, you know, it's the real deal.
And so when they play, there's a cut.
There's a cut
on
after
Thursday.
Friday.
Oh,
no,
Friday.
After Friday.
So
you got 36 holes. They cut, usually top 70, I think it is. Top 70 in ties.
And they play on Saturday and Sunday, but their scores from Thursday and Friday count?
Still count. Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
So it's the four-day total, right?
That's correct. That's correct.
Well, that's interesting. Well, you can see one of my friends called. He said, hey, I see you on TV. I go, no, you don't, because I'm not out there. Anyway, I don't know did we talk about the college scam thing yet?
You know, we haven't gone into that.
That's kind of,
I think we did off air.
That was kind of mind blowing to me because it was so pervasive and so big. I mean, I'll just tell you, when the FBI, although again, the FBI went in to arrest these two actresses with their guns drawn.
That's a little extreme.
I don't know what's going on. I don't know if people are just really paranoid or what, but that's. I mean, when you go arrest people like that, I mean, usually you call them and have them turn themselves in.
Well,
and
a couple of them did turn themselves. Yeah. A couple of them did turn themselves in. But
Lori Loughlin was one of the people arrested. And she was a TV actress on Full House. I don't know if you remember
correct.
That.
Oh, yeah.
And then Felicity Huffman was on Desperate Housewives. She's married to William Macy. He's a funny character. Every time I see him, I just think of Fargo. It's hard to get that movie out of your mind once you've seen it.
I've never seen that movie.
Don't watch it.
We were having dinner last night with a couple. I'm sure you've done this where you just started talking about movies, and Vicky brought up that movie. She didn't like it. I said, "Well, I've never seen it." But
well, you know, they got Ben Stiller to play Willie Loman. And The Death of a Salesman.
Okay.
They should have got Macy to do that. Macy, to me, would have been a better pick for that.
Stiller's funny.
Yeah, Stiller is funny. But this thing called Operation Varsity Blues, which is really funny. That was what the FBI called it. But these people were paying sometimes as much as $1 million to get their kids into college, man.
All right, so just... I'm glad we're bringing this up.
No, it's important for us because we try to live our lives through our kids. And what are we teaching our kids when you cheat at that level or any level for that matter, just so your kid can be seen as coming from a particular place, man?
Well, I listened to an interview, and I think this was before all this went down with one of the kids. I don't want to mention names because I don't really know any of these people, but... This girl, all she said was, I just want to have a college experience. You know, I want to be able to go to the games and party.
Oh, that
and all
was
this
that
stuff.
Was her daughter. That okay. was the one of the daughters of the people who.
I mean, I thought, well, you don't have to go to college to do that. I mean, do you? I don't. It's just, to me, it's mind boggling. Why do you need, if you're successful, and that's how I understood this girl to be like a YouTube sensation, already making a lot of money, you know, already has a lot of money. Why is she wanting to go to school? Why is she wanting to go to college?
Well, I mean,
at some point you got to pass a test. You got to stay in school.
But she goes to college for reputation, not for the education.
No, I get that. But at some point, academics are going to have to be upheld, right? I mean.
Well, you would think so. But if you can pay to get in, why can't you pay to maintain?
Well, that's
you
true.
Know?
That's
and
true.
So but the bigger issue for us is we live in a culture that measures us by where we go to school, how much money we make, what we drive, what kind of clothes we wear, where we live, how we look, how popular we are with social media. So when you look at the pressure that is on people today and parents, really, you know, when you stop and think about it, if you believe that the only people lying and doing this kind of stuff to help their kids are the people that got arrested, you're wrong. It goes on every day with Little League football, Baseball, Little League basketball, swimming, everything else. Parents want good things for their kids, and sometimes they compromise in order to do it. But I love what our friend Jim Dennison says. He says, sin costs more than it pays. And when you start doing things like this, you compromise. Numbers says, be sure your sin will find you out. Mm. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely. I was telling a guy the other day that when you make choices of integrity, you never have to worry when people slander you, because even if they do slander you, you won't suffer because of your sinful habits or lack of integrity. You may suffer because God chooses to let you suffer as a righteous person, and that's a good thing.
Yep.
You know, yep. We don't suffer because of the stuff, but he also says that integrity pays more than it costs. You know, because to be honest, I wrote that guy I was talking to you about before the program,
right?
Began, one of these YouTube sensation guys. And I just told him, you know what? Your wife will be here long after this craze that you're involved in right now that's bringing all this money into your life. And I can honestly say, Brad, that as a Harrier pilot, as a Marine, or as an FBI agent, nobody's ever asked me my GPA. In fact, nobody even ever asked me what I majored in. Nobody's asked me that. Now, when I interviewed for the FBI, they asked me what my major was, and I said to PE, physical education. Mm-hmm. I took challenging courses like football and dance and golf and stuff like that. But you know what? The guy laughed at me when I applied and said, well, good luck getting in because we're looking for accountants and attorneys. Mm. And God said, I want you in. It doesn't matter what man says. And parents, if you could understand that, one of my good friends is a guy who played for 17 years in the Major League Baseball. He didn't even, he played baseball. He started playing as a junior in high school, didn't even go to college on a baseball scholarship because he didn't like baseball that much. He went on a basketball scholarship and played basketball and baseball in college and ends up playing 17 years in the majors. He didn't have a pitching coach work with him since the time he was six. He didn't have all these things, but God wanted him there. Hmm. And so if you can understand that, you know, the righteous person who walks in integrity, blessed are the children after him. You be a person of integrity with your kids. You teach them that it's more important who they are in Christ than who they are in the world, and God will direct their paths. And boy, there's a lot of comfort in that. Man.
There really is, Doug. And I mean, we've been on both sides of the sporting, you know, world where we were pushing one child. We learned later on, and that child achieved some pretty amazing things, but there were some collateral damage, if you know what I mean. Well, and with the last one, Hannah, who goes off next year to swim in college, we our approach was totally different. We just said, you know what, work hard. You should work hard. But you know what, it's up to God as to whether or not he's going to open doors of opportunity for you to swim beyond high school or whatever.
Well, yeah, and you know what, Brad? We're not even talking about people that are living vicariously through their kids. We're not, I mean, that's not good, but we're not talking about that. Mm. We're talking about parents who want the best for their kids, but they stress things to them that really indicate that what the world thinks is more important than what God wants. Mm. And, you know, I just think that I look at my own kids and I look at some things that I wish I could go back and change. But, you know, God kept bringing little what I call signs to me. And one of them was when my son Russ was eight. He was in Little League. And, you know, being a former college baseball player, I wanted him to play. And he had always wanted to go to Russia with me on a mission trip. And I said, okay, Russ, you're going to go. And then we figured out that it was right smack dab in the middle of his baseball season. He was going to miss two games. And I said, Russ, I don't think you're going to be able to go with me to Russia because you're going to miss two baseball games, dude. And he goes, Dad, doing stuff for Jesus is more important than baseball. An eight-year-old saying that. And I'm just like, wow, talk about conviction. And yet I see more and more sports moving to Sunday practices, to the times where they take up. We don't honor God with any day of the week now. We go and get our hour and we're one and done, get out of there so we can get our kids to soccer. We can get them to baseball. And you know, I just think we need to step back and say, God doesn't need us to be there 24/7 to make things happen for us.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I can think of many. We never did practices on Sunday, but there were regularly swim meets on Sunday.
Yeah.
And we got involved with FCA doing little Bible studies on Sunday mornings on the pool deck, which was kind of a neat opportunity to see the kids that would show up along with parents. And so there are some neat opportunities like that out there. But yeah, I mean, we have placed sports above virtually everything in our society, and it's sad. It really is sad.
Well, here's the thing that you got to remember: your children see what you do more than they hear what you say. And Denison asked, if your children imitated your character, would that be a good thing?
Well, that's a good dovetail into our study today.
Yeah, yeah.
Glad you joined us here at SWAT Radio. We'll take a quick break and be right back.
Yeah.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by IPC Technologies. IPC Technologies offers IT and communication solutions. They offer help to organizations in selecting and implementing on-premises technologies, cloud-based solutions, and carrier services. IPC offers end-to-end solutions. Their suite of services includes engineering and implementation of services, virtual CTO services, monitoring and proactive maintenance, remote and on-site support and consulting, and staff augmentation. You may reach IPC at 804-622-7233 and online at www.ipctech.com.
Hey guys, welcome to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here this Thursday afternoon. Need to breathe there coming in.
SWAT theme song.
Great theme song. Hey, by the way, so we went into that break just talking about how we have, in our society, Doug, it's easy for us to place things above God.
Mm-hmm.
We may not admit it, but if you look at our calendars and our checkbooks, how much time we're doing certain things, it will expose. It'll reveal things. I said this last week. I had 5 points I really wanted to touch on that were kind of what we believe SWAT Radio is about. It's about practical application of the Word of God, but backed up with some questions. I said, when there's hypocrisy in our lives, we lose credibility with those that see us.
Mm-hmm.
If our kids see us going to church, but in the privacy of the home, there's harshness toward a wife, the kids see it, and he or she throws out everything. Mm. You know, we got on the topic of the kind of a generation that really is not in church anymore.
Mm.
Now, some of them are coming back, and we're seeing some of that, and that's good. But I can tell you, I think that a lot of our kids see us talking one thing, doing something completely different. Your story about Russ is amazing.
Mm.
You know, at 8 years old, that he knew what was most important.
Yeah.
And I mean, wow, it's just amazing that most of it is driven by the parents.
Well, it is. And unfortunately, a lot of times we tend to be people who focus, especially think about it, when you're a young parent, right? Every parent can deal with this. Remember back when you had your first child, you're out in a restaurant the first time, your child's about two and they have a temper tantrum. And the first thing you're doing, you're looking around and you're going, who is seeing this? Oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed. And you're thinking everybody's looking at you and they're blaming his tantrum on you instead of the fact that this child is 2 years old and he's acting like a typical two-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of being worried about what people think, you teach your child firm love and you train them. But we get so caught up in what people are thinking, even at that stage, and it affects us. And now even more so. You know, somebody was telling me the other day, and boy, we'll probably get calls for this, but, you know, the Bible speaks about not sparing the rod. you know, and that has become a dirty word now, even within Christian circles. Some people are talking about, well, I don't believe in spanking. I don't think you should spank. Why would you introduce pain into your child's life? Well, I can tell you, my mom spanked me with a switch.
Oh,
you know,
man.
If you don't know what a switch is, it's a limb off a tree. And my mom used to tell me, you better go out there and pick a limb. If it ain't big enough, you're going to get double spankings, right? I mean, and so you discipline your child. The Bible talks about not sparing the rod. And there is a way to do that that is not abusive,
yeah,
but that is instructive. And you teach, you don't want to do this because it's going to have a consequence. Instead, what we do today is you see this movement to move away from any of that. And listen, I'm not saying that should be the regular way that you do it, but it is a way that you may have to progress to, because, I mean, timeouts are great, but they don't work all the time.
No. And every child is different, too.
Yeah.
You really got
to know your child.
That.
Yeah.
I know there were a couple of my girls never had to spank them. I don't think. But my boys were a different story. Like, we used to have those little dowel rods you'd get at the paint store.
You know why? If you get the small ones, they're like a switch.
Yeah.
You can't abuse them,
mm-hmm.
but they'll break before you really hurt them. You know?
What's really good about those is they hide real well above the door frame.
Oh, you put them right above the door frame. I love that. You just pop them up above the door frame.
They thought we were magical. Yeah. I mean, they'd start acting up. I just reach up above the door. There it was.
How does Dad do that? He
exactly.
just brings that thing out. But
yeah.
No, those work really well. But, you know, getting back to this idea of righteousness, we get so focused. And, you know, that was one of the struggles that Jesus had with the Pharisees. They had this false concept of righteousness where their focus was on the external and not the internal. And to me, first thing, when your child tells a lie, you should ask them why they lied. Don't just go into the discipline mode of spanking them. Why did you lie? Oh, I was afraid. Well, why were you afraid? And you take them down a road to help them understand that you care more about their heart than just even the act of lying. And so we almost modeled to our kids this focus on the actions rather than the internal.
And Doug, can I just say, if you're listening, I mean, you and I both have had lots of kids, and not to say we have all the experiences,
13
but there's,
between us,
there's very little that I have not had to deal with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
By God's grace, I mean, there've been nothing too devastating. But listen, our kids are going to let us down. They're going to do things, stupid things, because we did stupid things. They're fallen, sinful little creatures.
Oh my gosh. Even and when they get little kids, little problems, big kids, big problems.
Big problems. Absolutely. And but don't avoid discussions. You know, I think lots of I've talked to a lot of men that struggle in this area. I don't know how to bring it up. I don't know how to talk about it. Listen, it's just as uncomfortable for them as it is for you.
Mm-hmm.
Just jump in the pool, because it's going to get dealt with one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, those topics, as uncomfortable as they were sometimes to get into, ended up being the sweetest, most authentic, transparent, if you will, discussions. You know, again, I'm not advocating that our kids need to know every little, you know, devilish thing we ever did, but they need to know we're not hypocrites. Listen,
yeah.
We've been there. We've done those things. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Because you can perform on the outside, but I'm more, like you said, more concerned with the heart. It's an inside-out project, not an outside-in project.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, they're much more going to pick up what they see than what they hear.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that Jesus, remember what he told the disciples, he says, do what they say, don't do what they do.
That's right.
And so, because they had this false concept of righteousness, but they also had a false concept of ministry. Their concept of ministry, a lot of times we have as parents too, and I don't know how this got into a parenting thing, but it was like we were talking about Matthew 23, but the Pharisees, what they did, and this is just, I guess, a practical application of some of the things we're talking about, but they just told people what to do, and they thought that was actual ministry. And in the same way, even as a parent, it's not parenting just to tell your kids what they do and don't do. You train them how to do it. Mm-hmm. And Lori and I have made mistakes. We've not, you know, and you see it, the older they get, you start to see some of the chinks in your armor and how you could have done things a little better, whether it's taking personal responsibility or letting them slide on stuff that you wish you would have enforced or taught them to do. Mm-hmm. And you don't see some of that till you're later.
That's right.
But being a parent and being a ministry leader is more than just tying up burdens on people of the law or the rules or whatever it is. It's training them and helping them. And that's what's so indicting by Jesus in this passage is he says, you give them these burdens, you add, and you don't care. You don't even help them with them. You don't help them work through. How do you do that?
Yeah.
And do you think that's a problem today in the church?
Big time. I mean, this is the element to me of discipleship that's missing in many ways. And it's two-sided. It's both the leadership and it's also the body itself. You know, I think we live in a time, Doug, where we don't want to admit I've got a problem here, whether it's a personal problem or a problem with your children or a problem with your marriage or a problem, you know, with your purity. I mean, name whatever topic you want.
Yeah.
We don't want to admit that we have issues or we've got problems because people will think differently of me.
Yeah.
You know, don't you think that's a barrier between, between us getting the proper discipleship that we need? People talk about, you know, we've been trained in biblical counseling. I always say it's not as much, I don't like to use the word counseling.
Yeah.
I like to use the word discipleship. We all are in need of discipleship.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether it's in your marriage, in your raising of children, in your work life, whatever. Name one other area. By the way, congrats to Nick Foles and the Jaguars for signing Nick Foles. But
I'm so excited about that.
I am too.
One, because he is a true blue believer.
He is.
And, yep. and I'm wanting to root for the Jags,
I
man.
I am too. We need to figure out how we get them on. But yeah, Here's the reality. There isn't one area in this life that, you know, take Nick Foles, take any sport, take any business. For you to succeed, you're going to need mentoring, right?
Yeah.
You're going to not just need a coach. You're going to need somebody to follow what they're doing. And yet it seems like in the Christian world, because we're in the church, we do everything perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't. We fail miserably often, and we need people to walk life with us.
Yeah.
That's why that song you just played is such a good song.
Oh, I love that. Well, as I was just thinking about the whole idea of mentoring and discipleship, when Jesus gave his invitation, and this is, I think, one of the issues for us today in the church, is Jesus said, come, follow me, and I will make you, right?
Yeah.
He says, come. That's an invitation to relationship, right? But attached to that is follow me, which is really a call to discipleship. Mm-hmm. You cannot separate, and boy, we've had this dichotomy of salvation and discipleship like one's optional. Like you can go to salvation without the discipleship component. Mm. And so what you have is 95% of the church who doesn't tell people about Jesus because they've not been discipled. They don't care about discipleship. They just want to go to heaven.
Well, it's like you've said it many times. It's a great illustration. You don't just join the Marines and you know, have some project you're on. There's some mentoring or FBI or business. Whatever it is.
There's mentoring. And then the third thing he says, I will make you. That indicates transformation. So you've got the relationship, you've got discipleship and transformation. You cannot be a believer without being transformed. You can't.
No, I agree. Glad you joined us today. We'll be right back after the break. SWATradio.com.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm John Scott. The voting is underway, with enough senators now voting for the resolution to reverse the president's emergency declaration. Republican senators who support the president's border wall have expressed torn loyalties during the debate, which preceded the vote on whether to reverse the emergency declaration. Bob Agnew has more from Capitol Hill.
Tear down the wall after it is built?
That's what they want to do.
It was a junior senator from Ohio, Trump and wall supporter Rob Portman, warning.
Future presidents could actually use this authority, the emergency authority, to tear down the very wall we are now constructing.
Portman arguing it's a very real possibility.
And some Democrats running for president have said that's what they intend to do.
And Portman urging the president to draw the needed funds from other available sources. Bob Agnew, Capitol Hill.
President Trump earlier says he will exercise a veto when the measure is sent to him. The president says he has no preference when it comes to a Democratic presidential opponent.
Well, I think it's going to be tough for somebody, but you know what? Whoever it is, it makes no difference to me whatsoever.
And Texan Beto O'Rourke joined that crowded Democratic primary field earlier today. Also on townhall.com, British lawmakers have voted to delay Brexit just 15 days before the country is scheduled to leave the European Union. The House of Commons voted by 412 to 202 in favor of seeking to postpone the UK's departure for at least 3 months beyond that scheduled March 29th departure date. Any extension to Brexit has to be approved by all 27 remaining EU countries. Sales of new U.S. homes down 6.9% in January, a possible sign that buyers paused during the government shutdown. Sales increased of homes that were already under construction. On Wall Street, stocks are mixed. The Dow ahead 2 points. The NASDAQ is down 9. More of these stories at townhall.com.
Expect some delays on the West Beltway because of an accident. 295 southbound at the Buckman Bridge blocking the right lane. Also, planned construction on the Wonderwood Bridge westbound at the Intercoastal, and congestion already building up on the East Beltway, 295 southbound near Bay Meadows Road. Breezy this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy, low 61. Friday, mostly sunny, high 84.
When I was a younger man, I hadn't a care. Fooling around, hitting the town, growing my hair. You came along and stole my heart when you entered my life. What it takes, so I made you my wife. Since then, I never looked back. It's almost like living a dream. And ooh, I love you. You came along from far away and found me here.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio.
You're living
going,
the dream.
You're going, what in the world is he playing Climax Blues Band
when
from 1981? Because today is March 14th, and in 1981, on March 14th, I took my wife out on our very first date.
Is that right?
And so it is our 38th year date anniversary today, and that was our song. I love you.
Lori, come on.
Yeah.
Now.
And
that's that legit right there.
Yeah.
That's
and I good. Told Lori 30 days after we started dating that I was going to marry her. And here we are.
You know, Doug, the first time I went out with Vicky, I knew it.
Yeah.
I really did. It was just, I didn't tell her.
Yeah.
But I knew myself.
Well, you want to hear a funny...
If I had the skill set to keep her.
I'll tell you something funny. So after the first couple of weeks, I knew. I mean, I was like, okay, this could be the one. This mm-hmm. could be the one. And then I was so scared of overcommitting right away and scaring her off. I said, I love you. And I go, okay, I didn't mean that. I'm not kidding. Isn't that funny?
That is so funny.
But... But, you know, I'm so blessed to have her. She's in Pennsylvania right now with my daughter, Rachel, at a scoliosis clinic, which is doing really well for her. Thank you for praying. And I'm just so grateful that she's my wife.
That is awesome. Well, I want to reach out to my brother. It's his birthday today.
Who's that? So,
my brother, Bubba.
Bubba?
That's what we call him. Yeah. George is his name. George Jr.
George Jr.
You know, my dad's George and my brother's George, but I call him Bubba. You know,
wow.
So anyway, happy birthday, Bub. And, you know, Doug, I was thinking about, so 2 weeks in, you tell her you love her. Is that right?
Yeah.
Strong, man.
A month in, I told her I'm going to marry her.
Now, do you ever get off the phone with your wife without saying I love you? Is that a habit for you?
To say I love you? I unless she's pressed in a bad situation like traffic or something and mm-hmm. we can't, I try to say it. Yeah. Every day. I mean, and all, every phone call. I mean, I feel bad. I feel like something's wrong if I don't say it.
That's the way we feel. And anyway, Vicky was on the phone the other day. We were out on the patio talking with one of our fellow agents. And Vicky's having this conversation with him, and you know who it is. And all of a sudden, basically the conversation ends, and Vicky goes, I love you. And then she was like, wait, I'm sorry. You know what I mean.
I did the same thing with Lori. Isn't that funny? Because we say it so often to each other.
Right.
That somebody called me while I was talking with Lori, and out of habit, I said, I love you. And she goes, did you just say I love you? I go, I did.
That's awesome.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. Well, I happened to be there when she said it, and I said, well, we really do love you, but, you know, it's just kind of awkward. But
Well, isn't it awesome, to have that? I'm just so blessed, like I said, and, you know, thinking about, you know, she has really been someone God has used to help me understand the need for authenticity, you know.
Oh, man, Doug, when you've been married... What, 35 years for you guys?
Yeah.
33 for us?
Yeah.
Listen, there's not a single thing in my life that my wife doesn't know about.
Yeah.
She knows every little flaw I've got. She knows how to work through those. She has continued. You know, Doug, the other thing, my wife hadn't given up on me.
Yeah.
Even the things that probably irritate her or annoy her, she's patient with me. I think about the fact that how God has used her, how I'm sure God has used Lori to shape you and to mold you into the man that God is working on.
Well, you know, our wives are good. You know, we talked about the Pharisees having a false concept of righteousness and a false concept of ministry. And one of the other things they struggle with that Jesus really nailed was the false concept of greatness. And he really dealt with that because they wanted to be called certain things, right?
Yeah.
And I think God gives us our wives as men sometimes to remind us that we're not as great as we think we are. They love us.
Totally.
They love us, but not because of what we do. They love us because God brought our paths together and, you know, that we love the Lord. And the thing is that the concept of greatness that Jesus tried to espouse was always serving. You want to be great, you serve. The Pharisees, you want to be great, you got to have a title. You know, I do this or I did that. And, you know, guys try to impress girls a lot of times by what they do or where they work or what they own. And you know, Jesus really condemned them for that. He says, listen, the greatest among you is going to be the guy that serves. Whoever exalts himself is going to be humbled.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we both are very blessed. And I wanted to play that song for Lori because I wish we could be together. But she's up in Pennsylvania. So I just got to vicariously live through the song by the Climax Blues Band.
Well, we're both without our wives today. It's Vicky's up in Nashville.
Oh, really?
Kind of beginning the process of another wedding coming up.
So. Oh, boy, that's fun, isn't
it? Oh, yeah.
You got to love those.
I do, and I, you know, it's, well, what's that cost? Well, how much is that?
Yeah. Well.
Are you that way? I need to work on that. I don't, you know. Okay, so just in true transparency here, I tend to do that. Well, how much does it cost? Not, that's awesome, baby.
Well, we can't, you know? I know. Well,
not
we,
trusting my wife that she's going to, listen, and my wife is probably better financially than I am.
Well, Lori's, you know, a lot more frugal than I am. I mean, about stuff, you know, she's really good about that stuff, you know, and I was sharing with you beforehand, and I have to share with people this, and that I was sharing with you before the program. You know, when I just got back from India, and when I was over there, I had wanted to take more funding for them in light of the election coming up April for the new prime minister. And if this guy gets reelected, he said he wants to stamp out Christianity. And so we've invested in this place called the LTTI. So we've got a building and we're trying to, that we've built it, but they keep adding on because they got more uses for it to train these people over there. And one of the things we wanted to do is kind of finish the top floor off, and it was going to be $10,000. And we just didn't have the funds to go over. And so I, the leader is going to be in the States speaking at some churches, and he was going to come. I was going to fly him down here to visit us. And I just was like, man, Lord, I really would love to have the $10,000 by the time he gets here in a month. Well, I got a call today from a guy, one of the SWAT guys, who said, hey, God's put it on my heart to bless this. I've been blessed recently, and I want to bless the ministry. And the exact amount of $10,000. And I was just so excited, man, because the exact thing that I asked the Lord for, he said, yes, I've got that. You don't need to worry about that. And again, it reminds me, we don't have to sweat those kind of details.
Yeah. Yeah.
He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns it all. It's all his. Mm-hmm. And the Pharisees didn't get that. We don't get that. And we're constantly reminded through passages like in Matthew 23 that he's in charge, and he wants us to know that we can trust him. And they, you know, and the thing that breaks my heart, Brad, about this passage in Matthew 23 is if you jump down to verse 37, he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets, that stones those who were sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood, and you were not willing? And what he's saying is, I love you.
Yeah.
And I wanted you to be here.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no words really to describe the anguish that he must have felt. And the only way I know how to describe it is sometimes as a parent, and I know my mom and dad listen, and I know they felt this with me. I know they felt this with my brother, and I felt this with my kids. You just can't make decisions for your children. Right. And sometimes they make heartbreaking decisions, and that's what Jesus is feeling. He's just like, oh, I wanted you to be receiving of this love, and instead you live your life apart from my goodness, apart from my grace. And I'm telling you, a life lived apart from the grace of God is a miserable life. Yeah. It doesn't matter how much money, how much prestige you got.
There's no
inside.
Hope.
Yeah, you're miserable.
There's no hope.
You're miserable.
When I was working through this, I thought about one of my good friends has some land, and they've raised chickens. And we had this discussion years ago about when the storms come in, those little chicks, where do they run? They run for shelter.
Yeah.
And they run to the hen.
They go to the mama.
They go to the mama. And it really is a picture. I mean, when you think about people that are in your life who may not know Christ, when the storms of life come, where do they run?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are we a place they would run to?
Mm.
And I mean, I think we as Christ followers, as his followers, as his children, we should be a place that lost people want to run to, you know, that we're attractive enough where they want to come and find shelter.
Well, and, you know, some people don't like this passage. They say it's too condemning.
Mm.
One of the reasons that Jesus speaks words of judgment is to bring about repentance.
Yes.
It's not, I guarantee you, if those people would have repented, they would have been immediately welcomed in.
Mm-hmm.
We know that from the story of the prodigal son or the loving father. But Jesus says, you serpents, you brood of vipers, how are you to escape being sentenced to hell? You won't repent. The issue was not what they had done, their actions.
Exactly.
It was the lack of repentance. And so if you're listening out there, no matter what you do or what you've done in life, nothing is irredeemable except to decide not to repent.
That's right. That's right. Good word. We'll be right back. SWAT Radio.
One more song. Truck Company, sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
Sometimes I just forget to say things I might regret. It breaks my heart to see you crying. I don't want to lose you. I could never make it alone. I am a man who would fight for your honor. I'll be the hero you're dreaming of. We'll live forever, knowing together that we did it all for the glory.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug and your favorite.
That was not our first song, but it's our favorite song.
Yeah, exactly.
And I love it because of what it says about fighting for honor. And, you know, when I think about some of the words of that song, I think there's nobody who has fought for people like Jesus fought for us.
Amen.
To go to the cross, to go through what he went through. And, you know, Brad, we were talking about, I want to go back to what we were talking about before the break, about this idea of come follow me and I will make you. This come is an invitation to relationship. And a guy named Stuart Briscoe, I had the opportunity to meet, and I don't know if he's British or Scottish, I can't remember, but he is such a gifted teacher. And, you know, he was talking to me about this, and he said, you know, Doug, when you come to Christ as a relationship, it's a relationship where you're coming to him as a student to a teacher. That's a relationship. Mm-hmm. As you're coming to him as a sinner to a savior. That's a relationship. Mm-hmm. You're coming to him as somebody who's greatly in need to someone who can meet that need. There's all different aspects of ways of looking at that relationship.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, it is totally foreign to every other faith in the world, that idea of a relationship like that. You know, that you come on the basis of what God has done for you, not what you do for the God.
I think about early in this chapter where he talks about that they tie up heavy burdens. That's the picture of most religions out there.
Yeah.
It's these burdens that get laid on you that you have to perform.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do them. And that's, to me, the beauty of the gospel is it's not about what you need to do or do. It's about what's been done.
That's right.
On the cross.
It's do versus done.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I told this is a difficult chapter. I mean, there's no question about it. I told you, one of the guys at the Iron Sharpens Iron event came up to me and said, I know what you're teaching on next week. I'm not going to be there. You know?
Well, because it's hard, because it deals with the heart, really, of integrity and authenticity. And there's harsh words here. And, you know, people don't like to attribute harsh words to Jesus. They just, Jesus want to give you the love.
Yeah.
You know, just give
me
the love. Mm. Everybody's going to get in. Big, wide door. Everybody's getting into heaven. We're all getting in. We don't need to be condemning. And Jesus had harsh words for people that were hypocrites, and especially religious leaders that were hypocrites.
Well, it's a convicting passage, and quite frankly, you know, he's speaking to the crowd, but he's also speaking to the disciples. And when we read this, you said it a minute ago, that this is tough. It's not only tough for those who don't know him, but it's tough for those who do know him, because there's a tendency for all of us. Well, we are all hypocrites in many areas. I loved this quote by John Calvin. It said, "The human heart has so many crannies where vanity hides, so many holes where falsehood lurks, is so decked out with deceiving hypocrisy mm-hmm. that it often dupes itself."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think there's a challenge to us that as we see this, we can hide in so many little areas, so many, you know, we hide hypocrisy in the little nooks and crannies of our life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about this, what this did to me as I was studying and then ultimately teaching. I said, listen, this is going to be hard to listen to, but it's much harder to teach it, because, you know, if you're out there on the radio, you can just turn the volume down.
Yeah.
You know, you and I had to kind of wrestle through this. And Doug, in all honesty, it revealed some hypocrisy in my own life, some areas that I struggle with. I want the title. I want the status. I want the, you know, hey, great job on that lesson.
Yeah, but to some extent, we all, if we don't acknowledge that, we're not being honest with ourselves.
Well, that's why we do this.
We kind of work it out, don't we?
Absolutely. We work it out. I think of, you know, whether you're running training for a marathon or you're on the Jaguars, whatever it is, you want to do well at what you're doing, it's going to require some struggle, some pain sometimes.
Well, getting to to pick up on a word you just used, training, I think this is one of the key reasons, Brad, that guys need to be involved in a SWAT group or some kind of men's group that is about training. Mm-hmm. You know, I was one of the guys that was at this morning session. By the way, we had a lot of guys at Jumpin' Jack's House of Food. Hey, I want to let you know, Jumpin' Jack's House of Food needs your prayer. I want you to pray for them because they're doing great as a restaurant, but they're having some what I call some issues that the enemy might be trying to bring at them, and they need encouragement. So if you listen to this program regularly, first of all, they have the best burgers and chicken sandwiches in Jacksonville.
We're going there for dinner tonight.
Best comfort food. Go to their Facebook page, like their page. Even go, you know what? The owner is a guy named Howdy Russell, R-U-S-S-E-L-L. Go to his personal Facebook page. And if he's got a picture of SWAT on there this morning.
He does.
Mm-hmm. Go there, like it. Tell them what an awesome restaurant it is. Let's encourage Howdy, because, I mean, the enemy has been piling on him for the past few weeks, and it is nothing more than an attack because of what he's tried to do. He's wanted that restaurant to be a base of operations for ministry, and he has opened it up to SWAT and other groups. And he doesn't charge a dime for what we do in there, and he's very generous. And he gives it to the kingdom, and he says, this is God's restaurant.
Yeah.
And because of that, you know, there are people that are not acting with the best interest of the kingdom in mind when they make some of the decisions they've made. And they're trying to do some things that could be potentially hurtful to them. And I don't like that. And it upsets me. My Marine comes out, and I want to get involved. And so one way that I'm asking you to get involved is pray for them, pray for the leaders, pray for wisdom for them, and then go to their Facebook page, like them. If you've been there and you ate, tell him how you liked your experience. If it wasn't good, tell him. He'll fix it. But it most likely was, because I've been there at least 50 times, and it's always been good. And so I hate to throw that in, Brad. He's a brother.
Yeah.
And he is a great guy. And I want people, if you're listening to this broadcast today on Thursday, March 14th, or tomorrow, next week, whenever, go to his Facebook page, go to Jumping Jack's House of Food go to that Facebook page and like it. Go to his personal web Facebook page. If you're not a friend, send him a friend request. He'll like it. Yep. And then like those pictures of SWAT. Okay, he'll like that. That'll make him feel good.
And go try the burger. Unbelievable. Oh my,
you got to do that.
Chicken sandwich off, really good. Super good. So, yeah. And just a great place. Yeah. Great place. And, well, you know, Doug, that's, you know, that's part of the brotherhood, right?
Well, it is. And he is a SWAT brother. And so I'm very glad that, very glad that he'll be there. You know, I'm laughing because my daughter, I got to go pick her up afterwards. She just sent me a text. Dad, pick me up at Sawgrass. I'm going, where at Sawgrass? I'm like, Sawgrass is big.
And there's multiple gates.
Oh, listen, you got to understand. To say pick me up at Sawgrass on the TPC week is like almost insane. I mean, because traffic is so bad. I mean, it is stop and go all the way up A1A, which is a good 2-3 miles down the road to Target, right?
Just tell her to meet you at Starbucks or McDonald's, whatever.
Well, she goes, she says, meet me at the gate. I'm like, which gate? There's like, there's gates all the way around. And so it's just so funny because, you know, it's a lot like this in the spiritual life. We get these vague instructions. And what I love about Jesus is he's never vague.
Isn't that good?
He just says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He says, come, invitation, like I said, to relationship. Second, follow me. Brad, that is a call to discipleship.
Yeah. Do what I'm doing. Not just hear what I'm saying, do what I'm doing.
Yeah. And we have seen in this country a dichotomy of salvation and discipleship that was never intended to be there. Mm. You cannot have salvation without discipleship. You can, but you're being disobedient. And to tell people up front, hey, just get on the train. Don't worry about reading your Bible. Don't worry about getting training. And so what we have is a bunch of men out there who, yeah, they go to church on Sunday and they feel like they get a fix, but they're not. That's not training. That's information that you're getting.
And Doug, isn't the Spirit of God that's in us, that's in the believer, part of the role of the Spirit is to bring about conversion in our life?
Transformation. You're right.
So if there's been no conversion, then the question may be, is the Spirit there? Is there true conversion? You know, I'm not just talking about a transaction. I did this. I walked an aisle. I got baptized. I did these acts. But is there a change in your life?
Well, if there's not, you at the very, very least, you're spiritually sick and immature. I mean, that's the best. I'm sorry, at the very best. Mm-hmm. Worst case, you are not a believer. And you know, from Matthew 7, it says there's going to be many who say, Lord, Lord, and he's going to say, depart, I never knew you. And so there's countless examples throughout Scripture. The fig tree that has no fruit, a fruitless fruit tree is a useless fruit tree. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening, just to close out our time today, and you have had something surface in your heart as a result of today's program that you need to repent of, can I encourage you not to let another moment go by? When this program is over in just a minute, stop, or if you're in your car, you don't have to close your eyes, just say, God, I'm sorry. He does not want you to wallow in shame. That's why he died on the cross. So we just come to him and say, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. I've blown it, and I want you to lead me. Hmm. That's all he wants. He says, follow me. And if you will start following him, I promise you, you ask him to lead you, he'll do it. And that's when transformation begins. Because what happens is he keeps surfacing these flaws in our life so that he can address them.
That's right.
And every time he addresses them, you come back to the cross, you're more humbled by the fact that he would love you in spite of these flaws. And it makes you want to follow him. So don't let another moment go by.
Amen. Amen. Doug, good to be with you, brother. We'll be back tomorrow. SWAT Radio.
Yeah, go to SWATradio.com and listen.
Yes. Right.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on Past Shows, where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville.